This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The holidays are over. It's time to get back to normal, and that includes your body. Perhaps you put on a few pounds over the holidays, or you know you ate and drank things that you don't normally enjoy, and you want to rid yourself of that vague feeling of just not being yourself. I mean, we are what we eat and drink, right? Of course, you're not alone. Have you ever considered detoxing? Have you thought about returning to or embarking on a habit of clean eating? Are you wondering what I'm talking about? Well, then stick around because we have people here who can explain it pretty well. Carolyn Haylett and Audrey Warwick are sisters as well as co-owners and co-founders of The Whole Tulip. They are both integrative nutrition health coaches dedicated to helping you clean up your diet by kicking sugar and processed foods and more and welcoming in real food. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You both sound exactly the same. Scott Harris is owner of Viva Raw Juice Company, which he started in 2011 as a delivery service for raw, cold-pressed juices, which we'll get into. 2 years ago, the company moved into the 7th Street Public Market a block away. It would have been an easy thing for Scott to bring some of these cold-pressed juices with him the block down the street, but you brought nothing. Why?
We sold out over the weekend.
And welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And Allison Modafferi-Brewster is a yoga and Ayurveda teacher at Be Yoga in Dilworth. Ayurveda is described as the sister science to yoga and literally means the science of life. It involves achieving a life balance for health and happiness, and that includes what you eat, and she will explain that as we go through the hour. Thank you for being here again, too.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. No matter what we eat or what we drink, doesn't the body just flush it all out automatically? Isn't that part of the process of being a living organism?
Yeah, absolutely. And the things that we do, like drinking water and moving our breath through our body and exercising, sleeping, all of those things that we do every single day, or should be, all of those things help with the natural detoxification process.
So why do we need to amplify that? Why do we need to engage in anything other than just simply living, drinking water, letting our organs do what they do inside, because they do deliver detoxify stuff? Why do we need to eat clean, detoxify? What's the other word I used at the beginning of the program?
Cleanse.
Why do we need to do that?
It's just like when you need to clean out your car or clean out the closet. Sometimes those things just, you know, the junk gets built up.
But my car and my closet, although you may argue, are not living organisms. There may be some living organisms in there, but they're not living organisms. So they do need to be cleaned out once in a while. I'm the filter.
You're the filter.
Okay.
Well, our bodies naturally filter, but sometimes we pack them too much with too many toxins, and the pathways get clogged up. They get clogged up with things like the processed foods, the sugar, what you were saying, everybody indulging over the holidays with maybe a little too much to drink, maybe a few too many pieces of pie.
But if we realize that we've done that, I think we all probably did this over the holidays. It's hard to say no because it's being rude in some cases. But if you know, gosh, I had three slices of pie this week and a bunch of Christmas cookies, and I had a little bit too much alcohol over the week, so I'll just not have any of that this week.
Mm-hmm.
Won't that solve it?
Well, those are really good intentions, and that's a lot of what we're here to support and help guide. It's a lot of this has to do with habits, that we get into certain habit patterns, and if we can get together in a group and commit together to new habits, that group support is really instrumental in making change that's lasting.
So when we say we're going to detox, what exactly does that mean?
I think it means a couple of things. One, it's, again, giving your body a break from some of those heavier foods and other foods that are hard to break down. So giving your body just a rest from all that.
Your digestive system especially.
That's right, exactly. So the liver's a great example, a really great, powerful built-in filter. But sometimes, as Carolyn said, it gets overloaded, so giving it a bit of a break. But then also equipping it with the right tools that it needs to heal itself with the right nutrients. So in very simple terms, it's those two things, giving the body a break mm-hmm. from the foods that are harder to break down and process, but then also flooding the body with really valuable nutrients.
So whether we do it on our own or we engage in some process that you suggest as we go through this program, is detoxing the same as cleansing?
I think the words are used interchangeably a lot. The word detox sometimes can mean trying to do something that is literally pulling things out of your body. The approach that the four of us have is more what Scott described, in that we're trying to give our bodies a break by not putting in so many toxins or heavy, hard-to-digest foods. And chemicals and processed foods and artificial ingredients, things like that, and giving our body a chance to do its natural cleansing process while we fill ourselves with nutrients, with healthy foods, with clean foods.
I'm glad you said that, because Dr. Edzard, I think that's how you say his name, Edzard Ernst, who is an expert on the science of alternative medicine and emeritus professor at Exeter University, says, "The idea of detox gives credit to a principle that is ridiculous and exploits people in many ways, not the least of which is financial. The body doesn't need any help detoxifying. There are no known methods of healthy people to help the body get rid of unwanted stuff any better than it already does."
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is that don't put that stuff in there in the first place, and you won't have to go through all the hocus-pocus cures that you may find on the internet, and you have ways or suggestions on how to put only good stuff in. Am I right about that?
Exactly.
Yes,
it's
correct.
About a lifetime change. We're not about a quick fix. We're about making these small changes, adding in all these good, you know, plant-based foods, more fruits, more vegetables, more variety, and crowding out the bad stuff. So this becomes a lifetime change, not a quick fix, not a quick 3-day, you know, detox that's going to change your life forever.
Nothing
I think also it's the introduction of a lot of foods that we may not be eating right now, a lot of dark leafy greens, a lot of seeds, a lot of healthy fads. You know, we've kind of moved through a lot of fad diets of fat-free, low-carb. So there's been a lot of confusion. So it's actually of how do I start going to the grocery store and shopping and making some of these foods? How do I start to incorporate this? How do I get my family to start eating less processed foods and more whole foods and liking those foods? So I think it's our focus is a lot of how do you introduce those foods and start to make that more of the norm than a lot of the quick processed foods.
I want to talk to each of you individually as we go through the hour here on what it is that you do and what it is that you suggest. And Carolyn and Audrey, you grew up, I'm told, in a healthy household. Your mother...
Reluctantly, yes.
Your mother taught yoga long before it was proper.
Correct.
Or mainstream. You, Carolyn, were an unfulfilled political fundraiser in New York. How can that be possible? And Audrey, you were working in the financial world initially. So what led you both to where you are today?
Well, as you said, I was living in New York and I've been working in political fundraising for 8 years, started out in Washington, D.C., and I just needed a change. I needed to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, something that I was passionate about. And I felt I was living in New York and there had to be, you know, there's so many opportunities out there. And good fortune led me to find the Institute of Integrative Nutrition where we both studied. And I was able to go on the weekends and learn 100 different dietary theories and learn from some of our leaders in integrative nutrition, like Dr. Andrew Weil and Deepak Chopra. And who else did we learn from? A whole host of people. And what I thought was just going to start out as a career change changed my life. I started eating differently. I realized that what I thought deemed as the healthy standard American diet by eating my turkey sandwiches on whole wheat bread, never reading a label or ingredients, I thought I was doing well. Well, I started to make small changes after starting school, started doing green smoothies, eating dark leafy greens, experimented with taking dairy out of my life. Really felt so much different. I mean, it was amazing.
So, Audrey, I take it she went first.
She went first.
Did she talk you into this, or did you simply
watch
her change over time?
It was both. Shortly after leaving the financial world, went back and studied neuromuscular massage therapy. So I've always been interested in how the body works and what it really needs to succeed and thrive. And I had been interested in the nutrition piece, but I wanted the what do we need to be doing now to be living well? You know, not only what needs to be on our plate, but what are the other components that make us whole? That you know, exercise we love, relationships, work that we like, our spiritual practice. So when Carolyn went back to school and I started hearing what she was learning, I was like, this is it. I was like, these are the components that have to come together in order for us to be living a balanced, happy life.
Carolyn was talking about the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and I'm glad you mentioned Deepak Chopra, and particularly glad that you mentioned Dr. Andrew Weil, because Andrew Weil, who has been on this program, I think, I'm trying to remember, certainly one of his disciples has been on this program, is known to be the cutting edge of this whole let's eat better, let's be healthier, let's be integrative in our medical approaches. He's the cutting edge of all of that and is highly thought of in both the traditional and non-traditional world. And I'm glad you mentioned his name, because the Institute for Integrative Nutrition has some naysayers.
Absolutely. I mean, I think anybody, you know, could come along with any institution or, you know, any extra training and discredit it. But what we were learning was, you know, really the central theme of the school was about bio-individuality.
You also mentioned that you learned over 100 dietary theories. The word theory is sometimes confused in layman's terms, because in a scientific world, a theory is more than just a theory. It's been proven.
Exactly.
So are these proven dietary?
That's the most interesting thing about nutrition, is that it's the only science that can prove all of these different diets work. You know, it's the only one that says, okay, the low-carb diet works, or the no-sugar diet works. And it's all true, and, you know, people do it, and it works. But what it comes down to is it doesn't work for everyone. And that's what I'm saying with bio-individuality. Every person on this planet is different, and what works for one person doesn't work the same for someone else. Audrey and I eat very differently. But we both feel great, and we've had to go through this journey to figure out what works best for our bodies. And I think that's the point, that it's not one size fits all.
And I think there's another component, too, is how do you create change? So for a lot of people, they know what they should be doing, but how do you do that? What happens when you get stuck? What happens when your day becomes stressful or completely goes sideways, or you're in the car every night at 6 o'clock running your kids around to errands? How do you implement this? How do you, you know, create these changes so that they're sustainable? So, you know, I look at us as sort of that implementer. How do you create the change that you're looking for?
Mm-hmm. And one of the things you talk about is and what the whole TULIP does, that's the name of your organization, is to help people navigate what you call the crazy, confusing food system, which we'll come back to in a second. And we'll also come back and talk to Scott Harris, who runs the Viva Raw Juice Company, and Allison Modafferi-Brewster about what it is they do and their approach to this clean, I guess it's clean eating is what we're talking about here. Not necessarily detoxing or even cleansing. It's not putting stuff in that's bad in the first place, so you don't have to worry about all that. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Heartwood Tree Service. Planting a tree in the new year in honor of the life of old Christmas trees allows the regrowth of the Queen's Crown. Research-based tree guidance available at heartwoodtree.com or 704-525-3066. Some children have a great deal of difficulty learning in school. They're sometimes labeled as lazy or written off as dumb, when in reality they are as smart as a whip, but suffering from the most common form of a learning disability, dyslexia. and it can go undiagnosed into adulthood. It's a lifelong condition for which there is no cure. But why is it so difficult, even now, to diagnose it? We're going to meet several local experts working to better understand and help those with dyslexia tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, incoming Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell plans to open the upcoming session with a bill to approve the Keystone XL pipeline. An update on legislative priorities for the Republican-controlled Congress.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about clean eating, about somewhat about detoxing and cleansing, but mostly going forward about clean eating. Despite that, we have a question for our Twitter listeners. Some say detoxes, cleanses, and clean eating are bogus, while others claim they've helped turn around their health. So what do you think? Are you doing any cleansing in the new year? You can send us your comments on Facebook or at WFAE on Twitter. We're with Allison Modafferi-Brewster, who's a yoga and Ayurveda teacher with Heart of the Matter, that's her own organization, and Scott Harris, owner of the Viva Raw Juice Company, Carolyn Hallett. Is it Hallett or Hallett?
Hallett.
And Audrey Warwick, our sisters, co-owners, co-founders of The Whole Tulip here in Charlotte. What is The Whole Tulip? The Whole Enchilada. What is The Whole Tulip? What is it?
Sure. We are, we're Dutch. Our father is from Holland, and we love tulips. And so when we were – there's more to the story. When we were looking for a title for our business, we looked up the definition of a tulip, and it is a flower with intertwining petals, and when you remove one petal, it ceases to be whole. So when we were talking about whole foods, a whole approach to a balanced life, we felt like that was a good fit for our business and what we do.
And we talked just before the break about one of the things that you do is you help people figure out what's right for them, what works for them, what course of action they should take, and you kind of help them figure out how to make it work in real life. And one of the things that you point out is you tell people how to navigate the crazy, confusing food system. Now, all of us go to the grocery store. We all know how to navigate it. We all know where the milk is. We know where the cereal aisle is. We know where to get coffee or tea or paper products. What's so confusing about it?
Well, first of all, what's at the front of the box doesn't really tell you what's really in the food. So we help people kind of dissect what's really in the food, because you can pick up a packet of Ritz crackers, for example, and it says 5 grams of whole grains, and we all are hearing that we need more whole grains. But it's not until you turn it around and look at the list of ingredients that it has partially hydrogenated oil in it. And we all know we need to stay away from trans fats because they're very bad for our heart. Mm-hmm. So we just help people, get past the front of the box, help them with label reading, and get past calorie counting and really look at what's in their food and filling ourselves with.
And there are apps that help you do that now, too, for your smartphone. We've done a lot of shows in recent years about just this, about reading the ingredients. And I've forgotten the fellow's name, but he's a well-known author of nutrition books. And he talks about don't ever eat anything that has more than 5 ingredients, mm-hmm. or anything with an ingredient you cannot pronounce.
Yep.
Simple rule. Just don't do it. Would you say yes to that?
Yes, we would agree with that.
It sounds like a science experiment. It probably is.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But most of the stuff in the center of the store is made up of those things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so a good, easy principle to remember is to try to shop the perimeter of the grocery store, because that's where you'll tend to find fresh produce and some local foods. And foods that are not overly processed.
But it's also where you'll find things like whole milk.
True.
Butter.
True.
Cheese. Eggs. Ice cream.
And in moderation, those things can be fun.
Bread.
And we help with those things too. I mean, there's different ways to look at different qualities and different brands. So we help with navigate that as well, because it is confusing.
Now, Scott, your story is not unlike – the two sisters over here, Carolyn Hallett and Audrey Warwick, because you started in banking.
True. I was 15 years in the world of finance right out of college, and tried for the longest time to convince myself that that's what I should be doing. And then finally, about 8 years ago, gave it up. I had no idea what I was going to do. And after I resigned, I noticed that I really, really was not feeling well at all. I had not been.
Because you had no money anymore. What did you feel like? What happened?
Just tired all the time, lethargic, no energy, foggy-headed, even depressed. Mm-hmm. Just really had a hard time.
And it was not related to worrying about what you were going to do next. It was simply a physical – you never had those symptoms when you worked?
I think it was there to some degree, but I wasn't in tune with it. I would just kept mm-hmm. Drinking that coffee every morning and kept that cycle going until finally I had the chance to kind of break that cycle and realize that wasn't doing so well after all.
So you found a doctor in Matthews who you say helped you take a more natural approach to healing.
Mm.
How so?
Yeah, so his name is Neil Spate. He's in Matthews. And he helped me discover a few things that I was struggling with. One was really high levels of mercury.
Was it too many tuna fish sandwiches? What?
Probably from getting fillings replaced not long before that. If fillings are not replaced in the correct way, you can get mercury in your bloodstream.
Right.
And mercury can it can wreak havoc on your body. So in that particular case, I did need to do a defined detox or chelating program to flush that out because mercury can cause problems with cognitive function, hormonal imbalances, all sorts of things. So to Allison's point earlier, what we want to talk mostly about is clean eating in a sustainable way. But there are cases where you need to do a defined detox or cleanse to get something specific.
So when you did this, did you also change your eating habits?
I did. Yeah, I had this sense at the time. Initially, I didn't know much about it, but I had this sense that I needed to sort of hit the reset button and reexamine my diet. And it took me a couple of years to get it right, to find what worked for me. But
obviously one of the things that must have worked for you was raw juices, because that's what you do now. Why raw? First of all, how did you find out about it?
Mm.
What's so special about it? I mean, it's a juice.
Yeah, a friend. Yeah, exactly. Not really that complicated in a sense. It's just juice. But a friend suggested that I do it. I was over at his house one day, and he had an old Champion juicer on his countertop and tried some, and I was pretty skeptical at first, but then started doing it on a regular basis and noticed that I was feeling better. Very quick to point out, though, it wasn't the only thing I did, and I don't want anyone to think of juicing as the magic bullet or the answer for everything. But for me, it was an important part of my healing process and feeling better, getting my energy back.
And so how do you do it? I mean, is it a 8-ounce glass of juice in the morning, followed by an 8-ounce glass of juice at lunch, followed by an 8-ounce glass of juice at dinner? What do you pair with it? I mean, is it just juice? What juice is it? The juice of what?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty simple, actually. You want to focus on the greens, the vegetables, more so than the fruits. The fruits will generate a lot of sugar in the juice. Mm-hmm. And so you want to be a little bit careful about too much fruit juice because the sugar goes straight to your bloodstream. It can spike insulin levels and cause other problems. You might get that sugar high for about an hour, then you crash. So anyway, focus on the greens, focus on the vegetables, and try to drink it fresh, unpasteurized. A lot of the juices at the store, they've either been pasteurized or they've been treated with another process called HPP or high pressure processing.
What's so about that?
Yeah, it destroys a lot of the nutrients. So pasteurization is a heating process. Mm-hmm. And we know that once it goes over 118 degrees, that a lot of the nutrients start to break down very quickly.
And they do that to kill germs.
Correct.
So you're not doing that. Is it safe because you're doing it in small quantities and you're doing it for instant consumption as opposed to having to sit on the grocery store shelf for a week or two?
It's all of that. And there's a lot more to it, actually. So there is a risk, albeit a small risk, because we're not pasteurizing it. But ultimately, we feel like the benefits outweigh the risks. So we have on staff a food scientist who helps us take all sorts of precautions on making sure that it stays at a certain temperature and we're buying organic produce.
So that's why you stress raw, cold-pressed juices.
Yes.
Because of the lack of pasteurization. You also say that raw juice is a great way to flood the body with the nutrients it needs to thrive. Why do we need to flood the body? Isn't that overwhelming?
Well, no, it's actually very energizing, very, very life-giving. It's one of the things that, again, helped me. If you're deficient, for instance, in a particular vitamin, say vitamin K, for instance, drinking a juice with kale will help to bring that deficiency back up. The same with lots of other vitamins and minerals.
You can't just take a vitamin K tablet?
You could. I believe, and there's a lot of research that supports this, that it's best to take in that nutrient in the whole food form as opposed to isolated in a capsule. It tends to work in conjunction with other nutrients so that it's assimilated at a cellular level in a much more efficient way. So I do think there is a time and a place for supplements, but when possible, try to take in those nutrients in a whole food form.
So how do you suggest people juice?
Yeah, I think the most important thing, even before juicing, to be honest, is just to look at how you can incorporate more plant-based foods into your diet. So I tell people all the time, even before juicing, try to fit in a green salad every day, even if you never come to us or make juice
yourself.
But
not iceberg.
Well, preferably darker leafy greens, but even romaine and iceberg does have some nutrients. So if that's where you need to start, start there.
In some of the literature that you put out for your clients, Carolyn and Audrey, you mentioned that we are in America, we don't eat a lot of dark leafy green vegetables. What's so special about them?
Just like Scott was saying, I mean, they contain so many vitamins and minerals that a lot of other foods don't contain. You know, like Scott was saying with the kale, and he can probably say exactly what's in the kale.
I just mentioned one really interesting thing about kale is there's so much emphasis on drinking milk to get your calcium. Mm-hmm. But so a cup of whole milk has about 280 milligrams of calcium, which is a high level. A cup of cooked kale has 180 milligrams of calcium, and it's a much more what we call bioavailable source of calcium, so it gets assimilated and absorbed in a much more efficient way. So, yeah, that's just one really specific example of how plants are pretty amazing in that way.
Okay. I think we hear a lot about spinach and kale right now, but it's, you know, how do we incorporate Swiss chard or bok choy or collard greens?
I had dandelion greens in my smoothie this
morning. How do we cook those? You know, a lot of people are not familiar with that.
And if America is deficient in that in their diet, are we unique in that, or is that something that is a problem around the world?
To some degree, it's a problem around the world, but I think particularly in the U.S., we tend to go for processed foods and foods that are not as nutrient-dense. When I lived in Switzerland for 3 years, there was a much larger emphasis culturally on eating fresh, local foods, balancing meals with plenty of vegetables, and eating smaller portions.
It's enough of a problem here that there's a term, there's an acronym, the Standard American Diet, the SAD diet.
it's sad. It has way too much sugar in it. Everything, all the packaged foods, right. All the processed, it's just way too much sugar, and all that is depleting us.
And that's why we like it.
Exactly.
It's easy. It's shelf-stable.
And
it
tastes good.
It tastes good, yeah, and it's addictive.
We don't even know it's there, but it is addictive, and it's why we like it. And that's why they put it in there, to keep us coming back for more. Allison, you are a teacher of yoga, and you're also a teacher of Ayurveda, which I described earlier as the science of life. Explain that.
Ayurveda is an ancient science out of India, and at its heart, it's about life balance. Ayurveda is very complex, but really what it's about is taking care of yourself. There are self-care practices that go along with Ayurveda. The way that we eat, what we eat and how, is very central to Ayurveda. And it's all about coming back to our natural state. Ayurveda teaches that when we are in balance, we are healthy and happy too, actually, that those two things are very connected to our balanced state. So I teach people how to understand what that means, what their personal state of balance looks like. In Ayurveda, it's called a dosha. A dosha means means constitution. It has to do with your physical and your mental and emotional makeup. So I help people understand what their personal balance looks like and then how to get better balance, get into better balance, or get back to balance if they're out of balance.
How do you find that for someone else? It mm-hmm. might be easier to find it for yourself because you know what you feel like.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help someone? And all of you do this. So how do you find it for somebody else?
Well, I very much encourage people to do their own experiments, to literally experiment with the way they feel, to observe. We spend a lot of time in my cleanses observing how we feel when we remove certain foods and drinks, and then how we feel when we add them back in. There are also dosha tests online that we go to, and we read a book in my cleanses called Eat, Taste, Heal. That's an Ayurvedic text and cookbook. And that quiz gives us some insight, but a lot of it has to do with observation, with paying attention to what works for us and what doesn't. Back to Carolyn's point about biodiversity, bioindividuality, is that what you said? Yeah.
You used the word cleanse, and I know that you experimented with cleansing personally yourself earlier in life, and mm-hmm. now you help other people cleanse. What do you mean by cleanse? What are we doing? If I'm coming to you and I'm trying to find my own personal balance and you're taking me through these experimental cleanses, what am I doing? What's happening to me? What are you doing to me?
The first thing we're doing is putting parameters around what we're eating. So in the plant-based whole foods cleanses that I lead, our whole group, and myself included, I do always participate with my groups. We take out processed foods, so whole foods, and then we cut out or cut back on foods that are said to be inflammatory. So we cut back on animal products. We cut out sugar. We cut out or cut back on caffeine and alcohol and gluten. And these five items, a lot of research has shown that they cause inflammation in the body, so we cut them back in order to see how we feel. That said, I'm not necessarily advocating that someone become a vegetarian or a vegan. I think those are great diets, but maybe not for everyone. But I am advocating for a more plant-based diet.
So just because you take out meat doesn't mean it's a permanent thing. It's a test. It's to see how you feel when you remove it.
And it depends where people are starting. So, for example, if I have a cleanser who eats meat two times a day, taking a leap to veganism would be
hard.
So hard. They would suffer. And the goal during a cleanse is not to suffer, but to challenge ourselves, to get to know our boundaries, to push our boundaries a little and get to know ourselves better so that we can grow and so that the changes that we make can be more sustainable.
Because you are a vegetarian, aren't you?
Actually, I've been, I was a vegetarian strictly for about 10 years. And I became a vegetarian because at the time, this was about 2000, you couldn't just go to the grocery store and get local organic meat. It wasn't available now like it is at Harris Teeter and maybe even Walmart. I'm not even sure. So at the time I said, well, I'm going to cut this out so that I can come back to it when it's more available and less expensive. But I actually found I felt better without it.
That's Allison Modafferi Brewster. We're going to come back and talk some more about some of the mistakes you made as a first-time vegetarian.
Okay.
Stay with us, Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Wilson Engineering Service, offering biomass energy project development, EPA boiler mat compliance, and energy assessment services to industrial and commercial clients. WilsonEngineeringServices.com. Incoming Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell plans to open the upcoming session with a bill to approve the Keystone XL pipeline. Diane Rehm and her guests will talk about Republican legislative priorities coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show. We are talking about detoxing, cleansing, clean eating, and more. And if you'd like to join our conversation, you can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter. And we are coming right back. Stay with us.
Auto jobs used to be a gateway to the middle class, but as the industry grows, wages are not keeping up.
This was the cream of the crop of a blue-collar job, and now they're competing with suppliers. They may be competing with service sector jobs.
I'm David Gura. A look at American car manufacturing next time on Marketplace from APM.
Marketplace this evening at 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE. Listener-funded public radio.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about eating clean, cleansing, detoxing, but mostly eating clean with Allison Modafferi-Brewster, who is a yoga and Ayurveda teacher at B Yoga in Dilworth. She also has her own company called Heart of the Matter. And we're talking about her approach along with Scott Harris and his approach as owner of Viva Raw Juice Company. You can find them in the 7th Street Market. And Carolyn Hallett and Audrey Warwick are co-owners, co-founders, and co-sisters of The Whole Tulip. They have a similar approach to helping people learn how to be smarter about what they eat and eat clean. We asked listeners to share their takes on cleanses and detoxing, and here are some of the answers we've been getting as we've been talking here. Kim on Facebook says, want to eat clean? Join a CSA. Mm-hmm. That's community-supported agriculture. Or, I guess, organization. They can help. Danielle on and you're saying yes to that.
Absolutely.
Danielle on Facebook, the first time I did a cleanse, it truly changed my eating habits and lifestyle for good. I'd highly recommend a guided, well-balanced cleanse to anyone. And that's what the three of you do. I'm not sure you're involved in that so much. Are you, Scott?
We do, yes.
Well, you do. Okay. Well, then all four of you are involved in that. Joseph on Facebook, bogus. If your diet is not healthy, there is no way to flush out what you're putting in except by eating good things. Detoxifying your body is what your liver and kidneys are for. I'd like to hear your comments on that.
I think that's a really good point, and we hear that a lot. And the point is not so much that a juice cleanse or some other type of detox program is going to, in and of itself, heal everything. What you're doing is equipping the body to do what it, in fact, does do very well. It's getting all of the heavier foods out of the way for a short period of time so that the body is able to do what it is best designed to do. So there is, in fact, a lot of truth to what he's saying. Mm-hmm. But in order for the body to efficiently do that, you have to get a few things out of the way for a short period of time.
And when you're talking about – and what we've been talking about this hour, in case you're just joining us, and he may have responded to this question before we started our conversation, is not so much taking these hocus-pocus supplements and things off the shelf and going through some chemical process of getting bad stuff out. You're talking about ways to keep the bad stuff out by not putting it in the first place. I want to be clear about that. All of you are advocating that.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay. Long-term changes, sustainable changes, because that's really what's going to make the difference in our health and the way that we feel is making a change that lasts. So we all lead cleanse programs that are short-term so that we can really dive in, so that we can commit to a short period of time where we make some changes that might be extreme for us. That are different than our normal patterns. And during that short period of time, we learn, we make some shifts, and then we commit to keeping some of them, keeping the ones that work, so that we can have change that lasts beyond the cleanse itself.
And you stress bio-individuality.
Correct.
At The Whole Tulip. What does that mean? Is this kind of like what Allison was talking about when she was trying to figure out what she tries to figure out what is right for you?
Exactly. It's exactly what Allison was saying. So we sometimes say, you know, when a person's fuel is another person's poison. So, you know what?
As you mentioned, you and your sister eat very differently, but you're both healthy.
I mean, we both eat, you know, a lot of greens and plant-based, like we said. But for me, when I was going through this journey, and it is a journey, I found that taking out dairy really made a huge difference in my life. It was like a whole weight had lifted off of me. And I was thinking better. My sleep improved drastically. My anxiety levels dropped. So we help clients go through that process. We went through it ourselves, and we support them in that process to do the same.
Because everybody's body chemistry is different, and food, it's just chemicals, right? Essentially, a food is a chemical, and it reacts with our chemicals in a chemical reaction, correct?
I hear what you're saying. I think there's a chemical process that happens when we consume anything. Mm-hmm. And so I hear what you're saying. And yes, that food is going to affect each one of us differently based on our own body chemistry.
Okay.
And I think too, a lot of this is shifting away from that diet mentality. For me, I was prior to going back to school and learning about nutrition, I was so externally focused. I was so focused on if I just do this, then mm-hmm. I will lose weight and my life will be X. So when it really, got in tune with what am I eating, and I kind of had a deservability thing. I was, I'll eat well on the weekend, during the week, and then on the weekend, I get to do what I want. And I really, was mentally trapped by that. And so when I started eating these foods and starting really thinking about what was happening on the inside, I had a whole host of symptoms that eliminated. I had eczema, I had seasonal allergies, I had sinus infections, I had IBS symptoms. So for me, that was really the shift in what do I really deserve to be eating.
So how is your diet different now than what it was before when you had all those problems?
I was eating a lot of refined carbohydrates. I also found that I do much better without gluten. And when I cut those things out, the eczema was one of the first things to clear, as well as my digestion.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Deb on Facebook did a 3-week cleanse 2 years ago. It was awesome and helped me to develop a much healthier diet since. Justin on Facebook, bacon and donuts cleanse always works for me. Does that mean eat them in quantity or get rid of them in quantity? Julie on Facebook, currently doing a 3-day juice cleanse. I always feel better afterwards. Mm-hmm. Is that something you would recommend? I mean, I don't know, I'm not sure what a juice cleanse means. Obviously, you don't just stop eating, do you?
Well, actually, most of the time, yes.
Really?
And a lot of people are a little daunted by the idea of not having solid food for a few days. Uh-huh. But it can be. It's not for everyone, but it can be a good way to hit the reset button.
And if you were to do that, you'd have to get the right amount of nutrients. So what would you be ingesting?
Yeah. Again, you want to focus mostly on the vegetables, some fruit, but mostly vegetables just because they have such a wide variety of vitamins and
minerals.
Give me
an example of what you would put together for somebody on a would it be just a kale juice? I don't know, just kale in the juice, or would you put a whole conglomeration of things?
Yeah. So typically on the cleanses that we administer, you're getting 7 12-ounce bottles a day. 4 of those are focusing on the greens, so things like kale, collards, cucumber, celery, parsley, a little bit of apple, just a little bit of fruit, not too much. But then you also have a beet juice and then a carrot juice, and at the end of the day, an almond milk. So 7 bottles sounds like a lot, but you're not eating solid food, and you need to make sure that you're getting enough calories to sustain
yourself. So you're talking about 7 12-ounce bottles if you're not eating solid food.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
How many if you are eating solid food?
Yeah, well, what I do, I mean, I will typically do a cleanse or a fast twice a year.
Okay.
But then in between, I'll have 1, maybe 2 juices a day.
Just and how long does that go on, this no food, just juice?
Everyone's a little bit different. I recommend that folks start with no more than 3 days just because you can kind of get your head wrapped around that pretty easily. But there are plenty of people out there who have done 30 days or more. Wow. I think that's a little – again, that's pretty daunting. I certainly don't recommend that for first-timers. But
where do the three of you come down on this? Because this is seems severe to me.
I've actually done a 3-day juice cleanse with Scott, and it was excellent. And we talked about giving your digestive system a break. And for me, that's exactly what it felt like. And I wasn't hungry. And that's the thing that I think is the most surprising for people going through a juice cleanse for the first time, that you're drinking 7 juices. It actually, one of the days I remember it was hard to get through them all because I just wasn't hungry. But I did feel a lightness. I did feel a lot of energy.
I'll bet you
and
felt
I was, yeah, and I was ready to get back to eating after that. But what I took from this is the burst of energy that you can get from juice, not just from something like coffee. And I love coffee, but the burst of energy you can get from a green juice is fantastic. So now sometimes I'll have a juice to supplement my Whole Foods plant-based eating.
Carol,
and as Allison's point earlier when she said, it kind of depends where you are. So for someone who's on the donut and bacon cleanse, I think doing a 3-day juice cleanse might put their system in shock.
Yeah, and in that case, we'll recommend that you do juice in conjunction with some food. So again, you know, to your point, we'll tailor it to – we'll try to feel out where you are. And it should be a little bit challenging, but it shouldn't be torture. And by the way, one really, really important point here is that, you know, lately – cleanses and detox programs, and in particular juice cleanses, have been kind of trendy, and I think the Hollywood and the Miami Beach crowds were the first to sort of take hold. But these are not new things. Different forms of fasting for a short duration and detoxing have been around for hundreds of years. I mean, Aristotle and Plato and Socrates all touted the benefits of a short faster cleanse, not necessarily a juice cleanse. There are different forms out there again, but it's nothing new, really.
Of all the things that we've talked about today, cleansing comes the closest to this detoxing that people that we heard about earlier in the 70s and 80s about, you know, take these supplements, do this, detoxify. Most of you are saying don't put bad things in the first place, and here are the bad things you should eliminate. Here are the good things that you should try to see what works for you. Despite that conversation, we are still getting comments from listeners saying this is all bogus. And one of them says, not research-based, moderation and positive, sustainable diet habits are the way to go. Is there any – I know that this kind of a experimental diet or these – flirtations with eating one kind of food for a while to get your system clean has gone back to Aristotle. But is there any scientific or FDA indications or American Medical Association any Western medical or scientific indications that any of this has a scientific basis?
I think it's true that the research hasn't quite caught up with all of all that we're saying, but I think there's going to be more and more research that comes out to support all this. And again, I would just go back to, well, 2 points. One, this is what we're talking about really is nothing new. It goes back hundreds, even thousands of years. Periodically giving your body a break, and two, focusing more on plant-based foods. And then
well, now, none of you are doctors.
Correct.
No.
None of you are registered dietitians.
Correct.
I don't believe any of you are nutritionists. Although you are, you're a certified integrative nutrition health coach.
Right.
I'm not sure exactly what that certification stands for. I'm not casting asparagus at you either. So, but I'm just saying that none of you are medical professionals. How do you know that what you're doing, as you're experimenting, even as people say they feel better, that what you're doing is not hurting them or in some way or making them deficient in a substance that in a year or two we may find out that hurt them, give them brittle bones or something like that? How do we
know? Well, we always say, you know, of course, consult with a doctor before making any serious.
And there's a wonderful group of, you know, integrative practitioners in Charlotte that we refer to often. So it's always important to speak.
So they are on board because there are a number of highly qualified and recognized integrative physician practices, including some run by the hospital system. They're on board with this.
And we're not – yes, and we're not recommending – anything crazy. We're recommending that people get back to nature. Instead of eating something out of a box or a bag at every meal, eating something that is a whole food that comes from nature.
And one of the things that the two of you do at The Whole Tulip is help people navigate this and figure out how to make it work in real life. How difficult is it? How much more time consuming is it? How much more expensive is it?
Yeah, I think, you know, at first, it can be, and a lot of times
it can be what? Can all of
be,
those things?
It can be all of those things. So I think it is making your health a priority because you do have to – there is a learning curve for a lot of people to be actually take the time to do some meal planning, to go and do the shopping and the prepping. So it can be – but, you know, great things – happen when it can be challenging. So that's where I think what we're all trying to do is create a supportive system for you to be able to implement those changes.
And with my programs, I help connect people with our local farmers markets and local chefs. We actually do cooking classes so that our cleansers can learn how to how to cook foods maybe they've seen in the store, but they've never known what to do with. And there is a learning process. It does take some time. It does take some willingness to learn. And it takes a reimagining of what a meal looks like. Breakfast always doesn't have to come in a bowl, right? Lunch doesn't have to be between two brown pieces of bread, right? Dinner doesn't have to be meat and potatoes. It's a reimagining process.
Of course it doesn't have to be. Pizza.
Right.
Rachel emails, I'm a nurse and an amateur yogi on day 5 of the Whole 30. Just when I started to miss my usual Egg McMuffin and hash browns, I turned on your show and was incredibly encouraged. Suddenly my eggs and kale taste better this
morning. Awesome, Rachel. Keep going. I always find that day 4 and day 5 is a breaking point in a 21-day cleanse.
Yes.
So keep going. I think you said you're on a 30. Keep going. The second week and the third week really make it worth it.
Okay. Phyllis emails, can your guest talk about eating for flu season, particular foods that provide good immune support, anything Ayurvedic that may be helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I can speak to that.
Quickly.
So we've talked about kale and a lot of other dark leafy greens being full of nutrients. They also have an alkaline effect on the body, and they are bitter, so they tend to dry things up. And during the winter, during flu season, we tend to fill up with mucus. So things like dairy that are mucus forming are recommended that we stay away from. Ayurveda recommends stay away from that, especially during the winter. But to eat things like these bitter greens that help dry up mucus are perfect to help us move through it healthier.
And you get the last word because we're out of time.
Right.
Allison Montefiore Brewster, yoga teacher, Ayurveda teacher with Heart of the Matter and Be Yoga in Dilworth. Scott Harris owns Viva Raw Juice Company, which you can find at 7th Street Market. And Carolyn Hallett and Audrey Warwick are co-owners and co-founders of The Whole Tulip. They all have websites, folks. It's amazing. Technology. Thank you all for the hour. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Charlotte Talks.